Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. We're back at the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference in Eugene, Oregon. And Sandra has joined me here at the desk from Right to Grow. Hi, Sandra.
Hi.
Tell folks about Right to Grow. What are you up to?
Well, Right to Grow is a patient advocacy group where we really got together back in November just to try to fight the Medford regulations locally in our area. And it turned into a nonprofit organization, and we're advocating to basically save the medical program.
So what are the concerns? What are some of the risks that are happening for the medical program?
Well, our biggest concern in the beginning was the changes that came through OHA, the 77 pages that are now effective on March 1st.
Oregon Health Authority,
right,
for the listeners out there.
Right, the Oregon Health Authority. If you can't comply with those regulations, your choice is that you become a criminal or you give up patients. And that's the bottom line. When it comes to a choice, if you're asking me to have to give up patients, you know, the guy that was given 30 days to live and was in a nursing home and now it's been 6 months and he's home with his family, and that's not a choice.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a choice. So that was our biggest concern, and that's why we start working with our legislators, trying to help them with some of the bills, providing testimony, giving patients a voice, and there's several groups that do that, but Southern Oregon just really felt they needed a voice.
Yeah, and some of this is, Oregon had a very, I don't want to say lax, but open program in that it allowed a lot of flexibility for growers to be able to deal with many, many, many patients.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have these situations where growers would have a couple dozen, perhaps, and now these new regulations are forcing a hard cap, a hard limit on how many patients they can have, and then you're in this situation. Well, all right, I got an AIDS patient, a cancer patient, an MS patient, an epilepsy patient. Who do I kick off the roll?
Yeah.
And that's a choice no one should have to make.
That's not a choice. That's a criminal sentence. That's what that is.
So what are you advocating for? Any specific policy guidelines that could be implemented to help this?
Well, there's so many different levels. Right now, our fight is with Jackson County.
Okay.
When Senate Bill 1598 was signed, we had written an impact statement to our legislators at their request and advised them what was going to happen in Jackson County. And they passed it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackson County, we testified 2 months, and we let them know if they don't allow growing on rural residential, it's going to affect 6,000 growers and over 10,000 patients or more. That's only what we can account for.
Wow.
And that's not an option for us, and that we would have to file a lawsuit. And on 420, they made those regulations into effect.
Ah.
So we've already filed an appeal with LUBA. We're going to file an injunction. And our goal is to allow growers to put their plants in the ground so patients are not without medicine.
And for folks listening on the radio here, as far as some of the Oregon background, Jackson County, Southern Oregon, northern tip of the Emerald Triangle,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Huge growing area here that we're talking about. And when she mentions rural residential, some of these rules are based on whether or not you're in a residential zone or a non-residential zone. And so you could be in what you would think is the sticks,
mm-hmm.
way out in the country,
yes.
but technically it's zoned residential,
mm-hmm.
and then you're out of business when it comes to growing a large number of plants.
It's insane. In Jackson County, let's just say the Applegate, for example, the Applegate was all EFU land, but at one time they started splitting it off.
What does the EFU stand for?
Farm
use or something?
It's an agricultural,
yeah,
I can't remember what it stands for, but some farm use, and exclusive farm use, that's what it stands for. And they start subdividing them, basically, these lots, and selling them off as rural residential lots. Like, my property was the original EFU property in the Applegate.
Okay.
And it's now RR5. And that's
rural residential.
Rural residential, 5 acres or more. And I can't grow, even though all my neighbors are growers, even though nobody would ever complain, that's an issue. And so Jackson County says, well, you can then apply for a non-conforming use permit for $1,563. That takes 180 days for them to make a decision on, which means I still can't put my plants in the ground.
Right, and someone on a hospice,
mm-hmm.
6 months is forever.
Yeah, or what about the patient that just moved here this year to treat their child, and they didn't have plants in the ground yet, so they couldn't apply for the non-conforming use permit.
Yeah.
It hurts patients, is the bottom line, and we just can't let that happen. We're getting some heat, and we're getting some pressure that some folks want us to drop the lawsuit. And it's not a choice. unless Jackson County says we can put plants in the ground this year, the lawsuit is not going to be dropped.
Yeah, and this is such great work that you're doing here, trying to help these people out, because a lot of times what's coming from the other side, from the counties and the officials there, is they hear complaints about big grows and fences and wire and lights and pit bulls and traffic and all these problems, the smell in a residential neighborhood. But by trying to apply this one-size-fits-all fix to it, they ignore, like, your property. Like you said, no one around you is going to complain about the smell of weed.
Right.
They're all growers.
Right. Exactly.
So what's the point of that?
Exactly.
Why this couldn't be on a more, I don't want to say ad hoc, like everyone has to be a special rule as unto themselves, but to take into account more of the actual realities out there,
right,
would have been better. So right. If people want to help you out with this, how do they get in touch and help?
You could look us up on the web at www.righttogrowusa.com. You can give us a call if you have any questions, if you've heard the lawsuit, if there's anything we can help. If you're in another area, not just in Oregon, we're USA, you can contact us and we'll reach out to you. It's 844-4-RTG-USA.
Right to Grow USA.
Right.
That's toll-free 844 number.
Uh-huh. Or check us out on Facebook, Right to Grow USA.
Right on. And so what? How did you become a grower? What got you into this industry?
Oh, Lord, my story is not a pretty one. My story, in short, is I was in two near-fatal car accidents, and I was permanently disabled when I was 36. And the doctors had me on so much OxyContin that they told me that I wouldn't live to be 40, but that's what they needed to keep me on. And I was disabled. I couldn't walk. I couldn't pull my hair in a ponytail. I was drooling out of the side of my mouth, you know. And I decided at that, no way am I going to do this to my nephews.
Yeah.
They're not going to lose their aunt to OxyContin.
Yeah.
So I cleaned myself up, and I started taking and growing medicine in a state where you would go to jail for a seed.
Which state?
Or a roach, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. Tough.
Yes. Yes.
Tough. Even now that they've passed a medical law, you cannot have plant.
Right. So my husband and I, we were married in Southern California, and we learned what the industry was there, so we left Pennsylvania to become growers in Southern California.
Mm.
Their laws were twisted, so we moved to Northern California because we want to comply.
Sure.
So we moved to the Emerald Triangle of Northern California, part of it, Shasta County, and then they changed their laws and said that you can't grow outside of city limits. Completely backwards.
Right.
You can only grow in the city.
In the city.
So we left
where
there.
Where everybody hates the smell.
Right. And that happened right as Measure 91 was passed in Oregon. And that's what brought me to Oregon. And now they're doing it again. And that's why I'm taking a stand. I can't let this happen to patients. And I'm not going to be a criminal.
And you've run out of places to move.
Yes. And I don't want to go back on OxyContin.
I don't blame you for that. Now, folks, I know this is radio. If you could see the woman sitting here with me, vivacious, intelligent, and strong and ambitious, you do not look like someone who's gone through two near-fatal car wrecks and would have to live a life on OxyContin. You are a walking testimony to medical cannabis.
I'm a patient.
Yeah.
And I'm growing my own medicine, and I'm extracting out my own medicine, and I'm living. I'm alive. I'm 42. I was supposed to be dead before I was 40.
Yeah.
And I'm back to work. I developed an insurance company. We're forming Right to Grow. I mean, I'm out there, and before, I couldn't get out of bed.
Wow. Yeah, if you have any doubts, folks, check out Right to Grow and learn more about Sandra's story here.
Thank you so much,
it's an amazing story.
Thank you.
All right, so we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more from the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference.